Turn your Bible tonight to the book of Zechariah. It's the second to the last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter number 1. And we want to read a few verses from Zechariah and introduce this book to you. Zechariah was written, the Bible tells us, in the 8th month, in the 2nd year of Darius. And Darius was ruling about 18 years after Cyrus. And this book is a parallel to the book of Haggai. Haggai was given not in the 8th month, but Haggai, if you go to Haggai chapter 1, was given in the 6th month of the 2nd year of Darius. And so the setting of the book of Darius is that the people of Israel have been in captivity in Babylon. Medo-Persia defeats Babylon, and 18 years after the destruction of Babylon, Cyrus, the ruler of Persia, makes a decree that Israel can go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. And they go back to Israel, and the book of Ezra is all about those that go back to Israel, the 50-some thousand, I think 50,000 or 40-some thousand people who went back to Israel to rebuild the temple. In the second year of the rebuilding of the temple, there was a letter written back to Cyrus that he shouldn't let the Jews rebuild the temple, and so he rescinded his decree to rebuild the temple. And so now, for 14 years, I believe, the temple has not been built. In the meantime, the people of God have lost their desire to build the temple. In the meantime, the people of God have done what is so easy to do. They began to put themselves first ahead of the Lord and His testimony and His house. And so God began to judge the people of Israel there in the land. And how did He judge them? Haggai chapter 1, which is just the book before Zechariah, and tells us how God judged them. Haggai 1, verse 5, "Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, and you bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes." And they were working hard to supply their families, but it wasn't working. They didn't have enough. And the Bible says it was like they were putting money in bags, but the bags had holes in it. And the reason the bags had holes in it was because God was judging them for neglecting their duty to God and neglecting the building of the house of God. And you can read about that, but verse 9 says, "You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountain, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. And so Haggai was sent to the people to consider their ways and to return to putting the Lord's work first in their life. And 2 months after Haggai started preaching to the people, now God sends another prophet. And this prophet's name is Zechariah. And so Zechariah comes to the people of Israel, the 40-some thousand that have left Babylon and Persia and come back to Israel to rebuild the land and the temple. And he gives them this message in verse 2. He says, "The Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers." Now, their fathers. Their fathers had so displeased that God brought about the destruction of the temple. The worship of God was ended in Jerusalem. The people of Israel, the vast majority of them, were taken captive or died by the sword or died by pestilence or died by starvation because they had disobeyed God. And now the people had, some of them had returned back to the land. And now they are doing like their fathers again. You know, you think about that. What do people do? What do people do? You know, people, even when people get saved, a lot of times, what do? They live, or they run their house like their house was run when they were young. Right? And they just follow the pattern. Now, when we get saved, that pattern's supposed to stop, isn't it? We're supposed to stop doing it how we were raised, and we're supposed to start doing it the way the Bible says. Now, hopefully we're raised in a place where the two matched. But the people of Israel they weren't learning the lesson from their fathers. They weren't learning the lesson of judgment upon their country and upon their ancestors. And now they were doing the exact same thing. And it really emphasizes human nature, that we're born sinners and we are sinners. And it's a hard thing. It's an unusual thing for people to follow the Lord. And so Zechariah is sent to people now, along with Haggai, to encourage them to put God first. Put God first. You know, that's an important thing. We were talking about this yesterday after our soul winning. We were talking about a couple guys that were probably witnessed to that were homeless at Brookfield Square. And they got the conversation going. And, you know, we talked about the fact that, you know, most people that are homeless, you know why they're homeless? Because they want to. They want to be homeless. They don't have to take care of their family. They don't have to have health insurance. They don't have to have a mortgage. They don't have to pay electricity. You know, they don't have to have a car and fill it with gas. You know what? They don't need any of that stuff. You know, they go, they get their clothes from the handout station. They get their food from the handout station. They get their health problems taken care of by the handout station. They don't have to take care of any of their relatives. They don't have to worry about their kids or their aunt or uncle, you know, because they don't have any money. You know, that's an easy way of life. But it really isn't a very good way of life, is it? Because, you know, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And know what God says? If you seek God's kingdom, what's he going to give you? He's going to give you clothing. He's going to give you a house. And he's going to give you food. Well, that's a pretty good solution to put God first, isn't it? But, so the people of Israel were going back to following their father's ways. Now notice what he says. Verse 4, be not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear, and did not hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? No, they all died. Now, verse 6, but my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. So they said, your fathers wouldn't listen to the prophets. Who won? Who won? Your fathers didn't obey the prophets. They said they didn't need to obey the prophets. Who won? Did your fathers win? No, they didn't win, did they? The words that they despised won. The word of the Lord, which they rejected, won. They're dead, but the word of God never dies. Their influence is over, but what God says doesn't stop. It always is true. And so here we have Zechariah's message to the people of Israel concerning what is important in life. What is important in life? And it's very a simple setting here. What is important in life? Well, we could say a couple things. What is important in life? God's word is important. God's word is important. You know, these people, they decided they didn't need to obey the Bible because, you know what? They figured they knew better than God. There's a lot of people today that figure that they know better than God. My heart was broken yesterday. I talked to this Jewish young man, and he said, I'm Jewish and I'm an atheist. And, you know, I was just thrown for a loop by this fella, you know. He said he doesn't believe the Bible. He's an atheist. And I tried to talk to him a little bit. He wouldn't listen a word. And, you know, you think about, here's a fellow who calls himself a Jew. And, what's his history? You know? But you know what? What's going to win? The word of God's going to win, isn't it? The word of God is going to win. Doesn't matter what people say, what people do. The truth is found in the Bible. So we have this great truth here that our life needs to be built upon the permanent truths of the word of God. Our lives need to be built upon the permanent truths of the word of God. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, the permanent truths of the word of God. Verse 18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now, of course, you know that when it says one jot, it means the jot is the smallest Hebrew letter. And it says one tittle. One tittle is the smallest distinguishing mark between two Hebrew letters. And it's saying that every word of God will be fulfilled to the very letter. To the very letter. You know, you think about that today. People don't get that, do they? People buy this Bible that's a paraphrase. Well, just think of all the jots and all the tittles that got missed out or knocked out. They figured that they could eliminate some of the Bible. God says every word of God is precious and true. And so we have, and notice the next verse, verse 19. Whosoever there shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Notice the attitude about the word of God. You know, the attitude about the word of God is that who's going to be called the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Those who take what would be considered the least of the commandments and teach men to obey it. We live in a day in which the so-called big commandments of the Bible are ignored almost completely. The permanency of the Word of God. Men come, men go. The Word of God is permanent. It is true. Turn with me to 2 Peter, the importance of the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1. And here we have the Apostle Peter talking about that great event on Matthew 17 in which Jesus was transfigured before himself and James and John. And he experienced the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's talking about this experience. And he said in verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Now, he's telling us about, hey, they saw this. They saw Christ transfigured. They heard the voice of the Lord. But notice what he says. Verse 19. He says, but we have also a more sure word of prophecy. We have a more sure word of prophecy. He says, you know, this was an experience that we saw, we heard. But, you know, there's something that's surer than experiencing that. There's something more sure than experience. And you know what it is? The Bible. You know, two people can see the same thing and have a little bit of different viewpoint on it. But the Bible is absolute truth to every minute detail. And so he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Talking about the Bible. A more sure word of prophecy. And of course, we know in the day in which we live, the Bible tells us that when the Antichrist comes, he is going to come performing miracles and lying wonders. And you know who's going to believe him? People who don't know the Bible. People who don't go by the Bible. And the Bible is that permanent, truthful, reliable foundation upon which we are to live our lives. The Word of God. Well, what are we supposed to do with the Word of God? Well, we need to know it, don't we? Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, what does it say? It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What a day we live in of Bible ignorance. What a day we live in which there is a lack of knowledge of the Bible. But you know, there's something more than a lack of knowledge of the Bible today. There's a lack of obedience to the Bible. There's a lack of obedience to the Bible. The people of Israel, they heard what the prophet said, but they didn't obey it. And, of course, we can say, well, why is it that most people don't obey the Bible? I think the Bible has a very pretty clear answer in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Why do most people not, who know what the Bible says, why don't people obey it? Now, we know that most people don't obey it because they don't know it. But what about the people that know it? Why don't they obey it? Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, the big problem is mankind has this idea that we have a better idea than God. We don't really need to obey what it says. You know, we can obey it as much as we want. And because we can figure out how much of it we ought to obey and how much of it we don't have to obey and what's important and what's not important. And, of course, what is it? Pride. Human pride. That we have this within us, that we have this idea that we can decide what's important and what's not important, what we should obey and what shouldn't we obey. And And, of course, exactly in the days of Jeremiah and the prophets. And what did they do? They says, you don't know what you're talking about. It's almost like the people of Israel, after Nebuchadnezzar and her army destroyed the temple and took the city and took over the land and left a remnant to take care of the land. And the people said to Jeremiah, go ask the Lord what we should do. Should we go down to Egypt or should we stay here? You go ask the Lord. And whatever the Lord says, that's what we'll do. And so Jeremiah went to the Lord and the Lord says, no, you need to stay here. Don't go down to Egypt. And Jeremiah told the people, says, I asked the Lord, and the Lord says, don't go down to Egypt. And the people said, you know what you're talking about. Well, they had it figured out in their heart. They weren't going to obey the Bible anyhow. They were just pretending that they were spiritual. And so we need to obey the Word of God. We need to know the Bible. We need to obey the Bible. We need to be seeking wisdom from God. Proverbs chapter 8 is such a great verse. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 33. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Now this describes what you and I need to be doing every day. And this describes our attitude that we need to have toward life and toward God and toward the Bible. And I think about this. You read the book of Proverbs, and many times I have to rebuke myself. And it talks about how the wise man seeks wisdom and is hungry for wisdom. And I'm, you know, might be struggling with my devotions a little bit, you know. And I read that verse and I said, boy, God wants us to be hungry for wisdom. God wants us to be hungry to read the Word of God. He wants us to be hungry to learn. And you know, when we aren't hungry to learn, we're basically just telling God, we don't need you. God, I don't need you. I got it all figured out. And when we don't read our Bible with this idea to learn and to obey, it's really our own pride. It's saying, oh, I'm fine. I don't need God's Word. You know, when you read, if you read your Bible through every year, aren't you amazed at how much you forgot from the last time you read it? Isn't that right? Every time you read your Bible, you are reminded of how much you forgot from the last time you read it. But you know what most people, how they deal with the Bible? And many times Christians, most people, and I know because I'm a human being. Oh, I know that. I read the Bible. I know what it says. Wow. And every time we read it, we rebuke ourselves because how much we forgot. And yet our mind is telling us that we know it. And each day we need to have a hunger in our heart to gain wisdom from God. And we need to read the Bible with this attitude that I need wisdom from God. I need the Word of God in my life. I need it. It's important. So we need to value the Bible. We need to read the Bible. We need to obey the Bible. We need to meditate on the Bible. You know, the truth of the Bible, It got to get inside of us. You know, I look at my brain, and of course, you know, maybe you can think of it as your soul, but or let's put it just, you know, it seems like our soul has this hard shell around it. You know what I'm saying? And you know, you got to get the Bible inside. You got to get it through that wall. And it just doesn't get in there by just reading it. You have to meditate on it. You have to meditate on the Bible. Psalm number 1. Blessed is man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, there's the TV right there. Blessed is a man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners. That's the TV too. Nor sits in the way, the seat of the scornful. That's ABC News. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Meditate. You know, we have to I meditate on the Bible a lot, but I never meditate upon the Bible as much as I need to. I never meditated upon it as much as I need to. You know, I read my devotions and whatever I read, and I'll write things down in my devotion notebook. But you know what? I know I need to spend more time just meditating on what I learned. Need to review it. Need to get it on the inside. You know, it's kind of like what Aaron is talking about, an active shooter situation. How are you going to respond correctly? He said, You only respond properly in relation to how much you've been trained or prepared. Well, the same principle is the Bible. Is that how do you think the right thing in the right situation, in any circumstance of life? It's all related as to how much of the Bible has saturated your soul. You know, I was talking to this fellow, and they were talking about, this is a number of years ago, Bob Jones University said, well, we have a rule that our girls, when they go downtown, they're supposed to dress like a lady. And they decided that they were going to change that rule. And the reason the Board of Regents or whatever gave is because they said, we don't want our girl, people to look, see that our girls are different. And they might be a target, you know, because they're different. And I was talking to this fellow whose wife works at the university. And I immediately said to him, wait a minute, that isn't right thinking. The Bible says the people are God. We're supposed to identify themselves with a ribbon of blue on their garments. The people of God are supposed to be obviously identified. And they're saying, oh, we don't want our girls to be identified as Christians. And his comment was to me, how come nobody thought of that? How come nobody thought of that? And he had talked to all the high ups. How come nobody thought of that? Why? Because the Word of God was not penetrating their minds, meditating on the Bible. So we need to meditate on the Bible. We need to claim its promises. We need to claim its promises. That's what we need to do. You know, when we read our Bible, there ought to be something that we're going to take out of the Bible, and we're going to take it as a truth, as a principle, as a promise that we're going to apply for our lives. We need to take something home. We need to live it. Isn't that great? You hear this testimony. Brianna's reading her Bible about the Jewish proverb, Proverbs 30, verse 4. And I can't quote all of it. It says, and what is his son's name? That's a great proverb. And God used that for her to grab onto for her witnessing. We need to, the Word of God needs to be effective in our daily life. How important. What are you going to do in this year, 2018, with the Bible? What do you do with the Bible? You know, it's pretty simple. You won't read the Bible through in 2018 unless you decide to read it. Amen? You won't read it unless you decide to. You won't read it through unless you decide to read it through. So we need to have the right value for the Word of God. And we need to determine that we're going to do something about the Bible. We're going to read it. We are going to study it. We are going to obey it. We're going to meditate on it. We're going to claim its truths. We're going to hunger for wisdom from it. The Word of God is going to be the center of our living relationship with the living God. So tomorrow begins the first day of 2018. Well, I guess it'd be a good day today to decide that you're going to read through the whole Bible in 2018. Amen? Now, maybe if you've never done it before, maybe you need to get one of those Bible plans so that you don't get to Exodus and the tabernacle and the building of the tabernacle, and you get bogged down. You know, You need to get a plan where you're reading some of the New Testament and some of the Old Testament. You're reading... let me recommend something. It's if you can, it'd be good to read a gospel, one chapter in one of the gospels every day. It's good for us to think about the Lord Jesus and all the great lessons and truths he taught. We need to be in the gospels. We need wisdom in life. You know, every young person, you ought to be thinking, "But I need all the wisdom I can." And the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom, and it's written for we so we can have the right opinion and viewpoint of life. So life doesn't and its enemies don't capture us. So we're victor. We need to be in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs has 31 chapters, and most of the months have 31 days. So you can have one proverb a day. Psalms is a great passage of scripture to get promises from God and to learn how to trust God. And, you know, you could read a psalm a day. There are 150 psalms. 100, is that right? And that means kind of close to the fact that every 5 months, you can read through the book of Psalms. Might take you a little bit longer because Psalm 119 is kind of long. But you could have a psalm a day. And that would be good for us to focus on trusting God. And you know, the Old Testament is a great book. You need to have a chapter in the book in the Old Testament every day. And the rest of the New Testament is really important. You ought to have another chapter in the rest of the New Testament. Well, that gives you a lot of Bible reading in one day, doesn't it? It'll get you through the Bible more than once a year. But it will be a plan to get a good diet. You want to have a balanced diet in your life of the Word of God. And I could recommend that to you. And get one of those victory journals from the bookstore. So as you read your Bible, you're thinking about your Bible reading. So you're thinking about commands. You're thinking about examples. You're thinking about warnings. You're thinking about truths about God. You're thinking about Satan's opposition. You're thinking about Christ's love for souls. You're thinking about a timeless principle that is in life from the Word of God. Get one of those devotion books that will make you think about the Bible as you read it. So it's just not reading words. Take time to make your life centered around the Word of God. The world and even the history of God's people has been, the Word of God has not been the center of their life. And because of it, they didn't win in life. And we only have one life to live. We only have one chance to live our life. And we need to make God first. And we need to make the Bible the center of our lives. You know, we're taught, we're in a world that man thinks he's so smart. You know, man's not too smart. You know, the United Nations just made a vote this last week, and the majority of the nations all voted against the Bible. Did you know that? Only 9 nations voted for the Bible. You read the Bible, it's very clear that Jerusalem is the center, is the capital of Israel. Amen? Amen. And Psalm number 2, you know what it says? That God in heaven is laughing. The heathen raged. The kings of the earth set themselves against God. But no, guess what's going to be the center of Israel? Jerusalem. Jerusalem's going to be the capital. God's plan is always going to be fulfilled. Well, great opportunity for us to get a good start. And you know what? It's going to be cold this week. It's going to be really cold. This is a great week to spend a lot of time reading your Bible. Amen? It's a great time of the year. I'm glad it's hot, cold in Wisconsin on the 1st of July. I'm 1st of January. Okay? Because, you know, and I'm glad the Packers are doing terrible. I am really glad. Hopefully you weren't offended by that. But, you know, we need to spend more time reading our Bible. And it won't happen unless you make a decision. So you know what? You can make a decision tonight. You could make a decision that you're going to read through the whole Bible this year. You can make a better decision. You can not only read through the whole Bible this year, but you're going to have you're going to maybe even adopt that plan that I have that will make you really not only read it, but have a devotion notebook and take time to study what you're reading and apply it to your life. Maybe even something better than that. You're going to not only do all that, but you're going to meditate on the Bible. You're going to meditate on the Bible. And as you read the Bible, you're going to obey it. You're going to obey the Bible. Wow. You know what? That's why the Bible is written. Amen. Bible's written, so we obey it. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that the history of Israel is that the Bible stands. Whether people rejected it, obeyed it, it still stood, and it still stands today. And Lord, we live in a day in which the people of God are going to be destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And God's people need to be reading their Bible. And Lord, I know that most of these people read their Bible every day. But Lord, maybe it needs to be shored up. And I pray that there'd be a shoring up. Even tonight. I pray for that person who used to read the Bible every day, or used to read it with great enthusiasm, but now they've lost their heart and hunger to read God's Word. I pray that, Lord, they would see they're in a serious spiritual condition, and that, Lord, they need to repent, and they need to get back to reading the Bible. We thank you that your words are spirit and they are life, and they will change us. And I pray that, Lord, that your word would take a hold of our hearts in a new and a fresh way in 2018. Now, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, time of decision. God has spoken to your heart. Maybe you're one of those persons that you're willing to make decisions for God. That if you weren't already planning on reading through the Bible this next year, but you decided to tonight, you're going to do it. Would you just lift up your hand? Said, I decided I'm going to read the Bible through this year. Okay. Amen. Amen. It doesn't happen unless you decide. Amen. Amen. Maybe you're here and you say, you know what? I'm going to make my Bible reading extra special this year because I'm going to get a devotion notebook and I'm going to start writing down truths in the Bible every day. I'm going to start looking for things devotion notebook is available in the bookstore, but I'm going to take time to write down every day truths from the Bible and pick them out so I can meditate on them. And that truth will be more than just words. They will be snapshots of truth that I can grab onto for my day. I'm going to go the next step, and I'm going to get a devotion notebook for my Bible reading. May make your own. I don't care. Whatever it takes. But God is challenging you to do that. It won't happen unless you decide. And so I'm giving you that opportunity to decide tonight and say, I'm going to decide to have a devotion notebook as I read through the Bible this year. And you need to make that decision. Spirit of God prompted you to do that. Would you make that decision tonight? Who would do that? Okay? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's great. Amen. Anyone else? Lord, now I pray you'd bless these important decisions, simple, straightforward, but important, Lord. And now, Lord, I pray you would speak to the hearts of your people in a new and a special way this year as they read the Bible. Lord, help not to get sidetracked. Help not to be discouraged. Help them to keep their promise. And Lord, they will rejoice at the end of the year in a new and a special way. And Lord, maybe there are some that need to read the Bible twice through this year. And that would be the step forward that they need to make. Encourage you. I pray that you would speak to them about that as well. In Jesus' name, amen.